So at the end of Vajragupta's excellent talk this morning, which was the second time I'd heard it, I also heard it on the series on the New Society in Birmingham, and I enjoyed it just as much and found it just as bracing and as exciting as I did the first time. Vajragupta suggested that perhaps the most telling myth for us now would be the myth of a thousand-armed Avalokiteshvara, which, as he said, goes back to very early days of the order. I did trace back a while ago Bhante's references to the thousand-armed Avalokiteshvara, and I think in the history of my going for refuge he says that as early as 1973 Bhante had seen the order as symbolized by the thousand-armed Avalokiteshvara. So it runs through his thinking. And this evening, I'm going to be talking about the order, and I'm going to be talking about how we may actualize the 1,000-armed Avalokiteshvara, actually bring that myth into being. And I'm especially going to be focusing on meeting in chapters, and how we can support the meeting in chapters through chapter convening and order convening. And I'm going to be looking at how we can bring together the different elements of our order and movement. That is to say, the college and the responsibility for ordinations and all that entails, the movement with the chairs and the councils and the centres, and the order. And I'll be exploring a little bit later, well, how can the order really be another strand? Because obviously the college and the movement is run by order members. Well, some centres have mitras on their councils, but generally speaking, run by order members. So these are the aspects of the talk that I'm going to be exploring. So really, in a chapter meeting, we come, I'd say, right up against our spiritual ideals, our spiritual vision, and our ability to put it into practice. I was reminded of the Vajrakula. I remember that in 1977, I was one of the founding members of Vajrakula community in Norwich. And I remember being told that Vajrakula is a place where one is spiritually naked, where all pretense, all game playing is over. And I'd say in a chapter meeting, that is what one would be hoping would happen. And sometimes it happens. I realise that in talking about chapters, I'm glad to say I'm talking about something that all of you have direct experience of. So when I talk about chapters, if I ask you just for a moment to think about your experience of being in a chapter, maybe your experience of being in a chapter now, or maybe for some reason you're not in a chapter now, so what is your experience of not being in a chapter now? I just ask you to reflect on that for a moment. Now I ask you to reflect on your experience of being in a chapter over your time in your order life, which may be 5, 10, 20, 30 or more years. There's so much experience, so many perceptions, so many thoughts, probably. In our chapter conveners meeting this afternoon, quite a new order member raised the question, well, what exactly is the purpose of a chapter? They found it not that clear. So I took that question very seriously, and I had to acknowledge that sometimes it's not that clear. Probably that order member had been told some of the theory, had some training, I hope so, but actually it wasn't that clear, and very honestly he said that. And what I guess is that even for those of us who've been in chapters for a long, long time. Sometimes it's not that clear. Or sometimes we lose the focus. We lose the clarity. But one thing that I've personally been doing in the last, especially in the last year or so, is giving more talks on chapters and the purpose of chapters, and going back over some of the earlier talks, actually from around about 1999 and the early 2000s, that Subhuti gave on chapters. And I found very, very good material there, well worth revisiting. And one of the things that I find helpful is to think, well, a chapter, first and foremost, is a place where we connect with our ordination. And in my chapter, we start the chapter by chanting the refuges and the precepts, and then for a short while sitting in silence. And it may well be that many of you do that in your chapter. And you may have a similar experience that I have, which is that sometimes, or quite often, whatever I've been doing during the week or before that, as we sit around order members whose connection is our ordination, expressed through the three refuges and the ten precepts, there's a kind of deepening. Something happens in the atmosphere. So I would say a chapter is a place where we connect with our ordination, our private ordination and our public ordination. And I mention the public ordination in the sense that we connect as well as with our desire, our motivation to attain enlightenment, we also connect and explore in the chapter the altruistic dimension. So I'll say a bit more about that in a moment. A very good kind of way to a framework to look at chapters that I'll mention briefly, but I'm not going to give a full talk on this, although I could, would be to look at chapters in terms of what Subhuti has called the three duties of an order member. I think he talks about these in his talks that he gave in the 90s on what is the order. So the three duties, as he put it, being, first of all, to work on oneself. Secondly, to promote the harmony of the order. And thirdly, to help others, especially to help others to go for refuge. And these three duties can very nicely, very well, be connected with the four ordination vows, or the four acceptance verses that we take. So to work on oneself is for attainment of enlightenment. I accept this ordination. So that's one of the things that one is doing in a chapter. One is meeting to work on oneself in a very practical way. As Bhante called chapters, when he launched the chapter system in 1984, he spoke about a chapter as a spiritual workshop. So to work on oneself, to look at what one needs to be doing in terms of body, speech and mind, to engage with others, to listen to, maybe to speak about one's spiritual life, to explore one's spiritual life, if one wishes to invite comments, suggestions, only if one wants it. Sometimes it's quite enough simply just to have a kind of mirror, or like a kind of a context within which one can speak about working on oneself, what one needs to work on, and to get that clear. And that very much central to that, very much central to that, is to look at one's ethics, kind of ethical sounding board. And where, when one does that, one may find that in the context of the chapter meeting, one feels remorse for something one's done, especially if there's a kind of space in the chapter to go deeper. One may feel remorse. One may come with the remorse, or the remorse may arise in the chapter because the chapter is so spiritually challenging simply by the fact that we're meeting together as order members and connecting in that way. So when we feel remorse, then in some way it would be spiritually efficacious and natural to confess. And to confess and to see what kind of amends, what might be required, if there's any effect on other people that requires making amends, and also to explore how one may avoid such an action happening again. So what are the conditions that arise? So there's so much to confession, and Subhuti has written that excellent book, Remorse, or that excellent talk that is published as a book, Remorse and Confession in the Spiritual Life, and we have copies in the order office. So, to work on oneself for the attainment of enlightenment, and then to promote the harmony of the order. And I add the word to actively promote the harmony of the order. That doesn't mean to simply to avoid getting into conflict. It means to actively promote the harmony of the order, to think about what can I do positively to promote the harmony of the order. And that very much involves thinking beyond one's chapter. It includes, if there are any difficulties between any of us in the chapter, not leaving it under the carpet, but trying to address it, and others helping to address it. And also, if one is in disharmony with other order members, and obviously that also includes mitras and friends outside of the chapter, honestly admitting it and seeing if within the chapter one can get any new perspective or motivation or help to address that. And obviously that correlates with in harmony with friends and brethren, I accept this ordination. And then to help others, especially to help others effectively go for refuge. And that relates with, for the benefit of all beings, I accept this ordination. And there I would say, well, in practice, it could be where we are discussing Mitra Sivasa ordination as a spiritual practice. That's a whole talk in itself, as something that is both helpful for them and challenging for us. But also exploring within the chapter, just how altruistic am I? Not only what do I actually do, could I be doing more? I know I could do more. Do more to help others, but also looking deeply at one's maitri, one's metta, it actually extends to exploring the element of insight, the extent to which one's thinking revolves around an ego-centric way of seeing the world. And then I would suggest that all these three purposes of a chapter, as it were, to work on oneself, to actively promote the harmony of the order, and to help others, we would do all these things with loyalty to my teachers. So that's the fourth acceptance verse. So all of that is within the context of one's understanding of Bhante's teaching, one's connection with one's preceptors, one's Kalyana Mitras. And I would say within the chapter, it would be very worthwhile not only to bear that all in mind, but if there's ever anything that we are in difficulty in terms of our relationship, either with Bhante or our preceptors or our Kalyana Mitras, it would be good to be able to bring that into the chapter and explore it very openly and honestly. So that's a suggestion, just very briefly, about the purpose of a chapter. Much more could be said. One could give a whole series of talks. In fact, a whole series of talks have been given on that topic. At their best, chapters realize those three duties and the four acceptance verses. At their best, I would say, in a chapter, we experience challenge in the most positive way. We experience encouragement. We feel understood. we feel that the difficulties that we are we are facing, that our fellow chapter members really empathise, they really understand, they really sympathise, they really appreciate us, what we're doing. At its best, the chapter is an ethical sounding board. After a chapter meeting, we are more attuned to our body, speech and mind precepts. At its best, a chapter is a context within which we discuss the business that is proper to a chapter, such as ordination requests, the welfare of mitras, and so on, and sometimes other matters that it would be suitable to discuss in chapters. For example, issues of coherence, what actually draws us together. One might discuss in a chapter, for example, the appropriateness or otherwise of going to on retreat with other teachers. One might discuss one's our system of meditation and so on. I mean, obviously, in the end, what is discussed in chapters is entirely up to the members of the chapters, and that is what happens. My suggestion at the same time is that if we keep the focus of the purpose of a chapter in mind, then that will be the most spiritually productive. And sometimes in chapters, it may not happen in any of your chapters, but it might do, sometimes the kind of discussions that come in don't really serve those needs. For example, sometimes like the business of a centre is discussed, but it's not really, it's something that's important but could be separated out from a chapter, maybe the conversation is interesting but it's not really taking one very deep from a spiritual point of view. Sometimes that might be fine, but at least it would be good to be conscious and aware of that. So that's chapters at their best. Bhante has said that famously, an order member without a chapter is only half an order member. And apparently, this is not to be taken literally. Somebody told me recently that Bhante regretted saying it. I have not heard that from Bhante, but I guess that if he does regret saying it, it isn't because he doesn't think that chapters are incredibly important, but that it was misunderstood more than he expected. Because obviously it's a challenging aphorism rather than to be taken literally. But I am aware, in my work as an order convener, and just my own experience, but also talking to many people, the experience of chapters, it's one thing to say how important it is to be in chapters, but another thing that many, quite a few order members have actually had a lot of difficulty. And sometimes it's not that easy. And quite a lot of order members have worked really hard and become dispirited. And that's why there are some order members who have left their chapter, and some order members who at present don't want to be in the chapter. And there are conditions which I do understand. For example, sometimes the group dynamics in a chapter are extremely difficult. It might be a question of different characters, different personalities, different temperaments, different lifestyles. And sometimes, despite a lot of effort to find a common way of working, a lot of energy and time goes into trying to find a common way of working. Sometimes people want to approach a chapter in a different way, and it's not, some people, without going into details, you probably, the talk will become too long. We could, if it comes up later, we could talk about it more. The point I want to make is that I recognise that sometimes some order members, I don't know whether this is any of you, have become at some point or other dispirited, disappointed, discouraged, or even felt hurt from their experience in chapters. And probably everybody experiences ups and downs. I certainly do. sometimes my chapter is just quite fantastic. And then the next week, it's I feel quite frustrated. I feel frustrated. Other members in the chapter may not feel frustrated. They might have felt really satisfied. And sometimes everybody feels satisfied. And I didn't mention it, but in terms of what can happen in the chapter, sometimes something arises, a deep level of harmony, not just harmony, but understanding, which might be touching on what Bhante calls the third order of consciousness. Because I want to say that, because I think what is possible in the chapter, it's better not to see it simply in terms of what one gets individually as a context for one's ordination vows, as it were. I don't want to speak just in that way. Even the idea of promoting harmony, harmony is something collective. And in the end, what is created in the chapter goes beyond the... well, it is the individual... In terms of Bhante's thinking, it is the individual in community with other individuals bringing into being a higher or a deeper level of consciousness. And when the chapter is really... if we can imagine, in terms of the Thousand Dharma Pavalika Tessera, if we were all meeting in chapters every week, and if we were all realizing that what Bhante calls third order of consciousness, and we were all connected up, and I'm going to talk about that in a moment, how we could be connected up, then that is how the third order of consciousness would arise, well, in our order throughout the world. But yeah, sometimes it can be difficult, and I think that we need to recognize that. So that actually is where I come on to the second part of my talk, which is chapter conveners and order conveners. The point being here that, one point being here that when Bhante launched the chapter system in 1984, he spoke about chapter conveners being equally important to the chairs of centres and the mitra conveners. At the time, those were the three kind of office bearers that he referred to. At that time, not really office bearers, but Bhante was the only preceptor. We got another strand, really, the preceptors. But in terms of kind of institutional responsibility, that the chapter convener was of equal importance. And I don't think we have realised that in the sense of made that happen. And I think that it's important to examine the need for that order strand to be stronger. So the chapter convener, well, I don't want to get to, first of all, I'm not I'm not fixed on the titles, on the names, and I'm not even fixed on exactly how it's done. But the order strand, as a strand which actually, where you have some of us whose main focus is the needs of the order, I hope we can strengthen this. And that, if there's any kind of particular result I would like from my speaking this evening, it would be to advocate for the need to strengthen the strand of the taking responsibility in the order. It may be at the level of a chapter convener. It may be within each chapter. Goodness knows how many chapters we now have in the order and movement. It must be like 500, I don't know, hundreds. We're currently doing a survey in the order office. It may be at that level where the chapter convener is both somebody who, I would just very briefly, another question in our meeting this afternoon was, well, what is a chapter convener? I said, well, people talk about chapter conveners, but what is a chapter convener? So my brief answer is, well, a chapter convener, I would say, has two aspects. First of all, what they do for the chapter they are in. And I would say a chapter convener would be like a model chapter member. So they don't lead the chapter, but they are somebody who give a lot of attention to what a chapter is. And they may well be meeting with other chapter conveners, and they may well be taking training. Because that's another point. I was very struck that K2 Raja was saying yesterday in Windhorse, where by the 90s they came to realize they needed the need for training. And I would say, I would suggest that the need for training for meeting in chapters, there is a great need, actually, and we need that more. And I would like to see that happen more. And that will happen, is more likely to happen through a network of chapter conveners and regional conveners. But if a chapter convener is trained, they don't come into a chapter and sort of give lectures on the importance of confession and the importance of listening to each other and so on, meeting regularly. They embody it. So that would be one kind of definition of a chapter convener, like they are kind of an ideal chapter member. And of course the aim would be that every chapter member is an ideal chapter member. So everybody's a chapter convener, you could say. Everybody brings the chapter together at the highest and deepest level. But there's another aspect, which is that the chapter convener also is willing to connect up more widely with the order. So in a sense, the chapter convener is also an order convener, because they are part of the glue, or part of the kind of network of the order. But because it may be unrealistic to expect several hundred people to perform that function, it may be more realistic and even more effective to have, as it were, like each grouping of chapter conveners with an order convener. So for example, it might be in Cambridge where one has, I don't know how many men's chapters, maybe 8, 9, 10 chapters, where that chapter had an order convener. Or what the region is could be considered. In the way that is for the order members to decide, there could be a region that includes Ipswich, Colchester, Norwich and Cambridge, or maybe just Cambridge. But groupings of chapter conveners having an order convener. And that order convener well, how they are chosen, again, it doesn't really matter. However the local order members want to choose that person, it's up to them. But the function of the order convener would be to help the communication between all those chapters. So for example, I'm talking locally, say in one place, but this applies nationally, internationally, and internationally. If chapters are in contact or in communication through a network, those chapters that are going really well, they have an influence on the chapter system. So we learn from them. And those chapters that are in difficulty, they benefit. It's like information passes. Not just information, but inspiration. Encouragement. And from that point of view, although information in terms of written information and talks can be helpful, I think in the end there's no substitute for face-to-face. And so in terms of organising the order, somehow, and exactly how we do it, I think needs to be left to us at a local, regional, national level to work it out. Somehow we need to be linked in face-to-face communication through chapters, through local chapter conveners, regional conveners, and ideally this would go right up locally, nationally and internationally. Now we have a kind of model of that in India. In India we have that in rather a pure form. We have chapter conveners meetings lasting for 3 or 4 days, twice a year, at least twice a year, and we have 30-35 chapter conveners coming. And we also have an order convening team of 5 order conveners. But here in the UK, the situation is very different. We don't have, most chapters don't have chapter conveners. So what I want to point out, however, is that in some parts of the UK, and it may well be in Ireland, there are signs of these things of order convening starting to happen on the initiative of those order members in that region. So I just want to just point to that, because I think that is how things will start to happen, by order members locally deciding to take that initiative. And what I'm doing is simply pointing it out and telling everybody else, this is happening, and if you're not doing it where you are, then think about it. Think about it from the point of view, it may be from the point of view of organising regional order days, regional order weekends. Think about it from the point of view of helping those people who are not in chapters find a chapter. Think about it from the point of view of maybe those order members not in chapters, seeing if they would like to join a chapter, or if they wouldn't, at least they might come to an order day, an order weekend. Think about it in terms of, if a chapter is in difficulty, maybe somebody from another chapter could be invited to visit that chapter. It's like making use of the experience that we have. Sometimes chapters struggle on their own. So we're not helping each other, perhaps, as much as we can, or I'm sure we're not. So establishing a culture where we help each other. So suppose a chapter has a group dynamic that is difficult. Maybe it might just, however it happens, it doesn't matter. It might just happen naturally. Or it might be there's an order convening team who notices and says, hey, how about asking such and such a person if they would come for a week or two and join your chapter, just sit in. Somebody that everybody trusts and who's sort of got good... in my view, the training in chapters doesn't involve any extraneous skills than going for refuge and 10 precepts. That's not to say that I don't think that other skills could be helpful, and they may be helpful, whatever they may be. But primarily, it is through experience and creative thought, working out the implications of the refuges and precepts, and being imaginative. One thing that happens in chapters is they become routinized. Sometimes people in chapters are not really quite sure what to do. Do the same thing week after week. Probably not your chapter, but it does happen. And if it's not your chapter, then it means that your chapter is going really well. And as well as your chapter going really well for you, others could benefit by your sharing that inspiration. So just a couple of examples. In Bristol, they've started what they call an order cooler. And Sila Jala told me about this. And the six of them, it's mixed actually, men and women. I believe they've got maybe they've got six chapters in Bristol. And they meet every 6 weeks. And Sila Jala told me the best thing about that meeting is they really enjoy meeting. And he really emphasised that's the kind of starting point. And he said some of them are chapter conveners and some of them are not. He almost said, as it happens, they're all from different chapters. But the sense I got from him, well, even if it didn't, they enjoy meeting. So it's kind of, at the same time, they are aware that is of benefit to local order situation. And they have helped, I understand, in a situation of harmony. For example, I understand where there was some disagreements about how to go ahead in terms of changing the name of the order and movement, that this order cooler had helped. That's how I understand. I don't know the details. They don't see themselves as taking authority. Actually, they didn't need anybody's permission to set up. So that's quite a thought. That's one of the things I want to suggest, is that the order is a kind of creative, well, it's a free association of individuals. There's something wonderfully disorganized about the order, in the sense that we can organize ourselves however we want. So here are six order members from different chapters getting together every 6 weeks, having a great time and benefiting the whole region. Well, Bristol, but they must have quite a lot of order members in Bristol. So it makes a difference. In a rather different, there may be other examples of order coolers, but that's the one that I can think of at the moment. Other local initiatives are more individual initiatives, or maybe two or three order members working together, especially in terms of organising regional order days and weekends. So, for example, Vimalanath and Bodhi Vamsa in the eastern region, Teja Mitra in the southern region, Mangala, and I think Mangala with somebody else, I can't remember who else, in London, Ashwajit in Birmingham. So just taking up those responsibilities. So I want to suggest that if in the area where you live, and it may well be in other areas I haven't mentioned, it is happening, but I do believe in some areas that there is not much the coming together of order members, whether in single sex, i.e. men's contexts, or in mixed contexts, is not happening that much, or not as much as it could, or not many people are going, they don't feel inspired, they're kind of like, they're either not happening or they're kind of dying on their feet, then any order members can take an initiative. And especially, I would think, if one got together with a few others, it'd be more fun and more likely to happen. And if this was to happen, then the possibility of, say, meeting up on National Order weekends would be a start, and then something more can grow out of this in terms of networking. And now I want to come to my third part, just for a few minutes, because I want to leave a little bit of time for questions. And this is to do with the communication, the flow of communication, trust, inspiration, understanding between the different aspects of our order and movement. And these specifically can be identified as the Public Preceptors College and the preceptors, those responsible for ordination, the chairs, and those responsible for running our movement and centres, and order members. Now, it has been suggested, well, what is the need for a separate strand, because they are all order members? Well, I hope, in a way, what I've said already gives some suggestion, because what the order represents is a focus on our spiritual values, our spiritual transformation. So one can be running a centre, but the centre will run in the most spiritually effective way, to the extent that order members are spiritually alive and also in harmony. That's what people will pick up on when they come along, the vitality between the order members. So, Dharmarati, as the chair of the college, has started an initiative in the last few months to find a way to bring together in communication these three links, these three strands, the ordination process, especially the college, the movement and the order. And one thing I would note is that in the UK, the college and the movement are more organised than the order. That's the first point. It's a bit different in India. In India, the order is very organised in terms of chapter conveners, but that's not the case here. In terms of chapter conveners and order conveners, we're very, very thin on the ground. There's not much of a network, actually. Now, there may be... Now, just very briefly, what could happen? There could be... contexts for meeting at local, regional, national and international level between these strands. So this might be simply for the benefit of just connecting up order members. There might be no purpose, but there might be a purpose. There might be a decision that needs to be made. I don't want to focus too much on decisions because I'm not convinced it's really just about decision. I think it's also about trust. Because the decisions that we make in our order of movement are made by those who are responsible for those decisions. So ultimately, for example, the decision for ordinations is made by the college. But the college consults extremely widely. So decisions that are made by the college need the input and the support and the trust of the order and the movement. The decisions that are made as regards the running of the centres are made by the centre councils. They're not made by those who are not members of the centre council. They're not made by the public preceptors. But the way that the centres are run, they need the trust and the support of the college, the public and private preceptors, and they need the trust of the whole order. And it's not just trust, but also they will benefit from the ideas, the suggestions of order members, and even beyond that, even of mitras. So we want a kind of, if I may use the term system, a system where we're connected up these three aspects of college, order and movement. We could be connected up at local, however we define that, and that's up for discussion. Regional, maybe in the UK it's a big area, like that might be not national, but it might be a part of the UK nationally and internationally. Even the possibility that every couple of years having an international meeting that included some public and private preceptors, some chairs and some order and chapter conveners. And Dharmareti, as chair of the college, is taking forward these discussions. And Bhante also is very keen that we do this. And it relates to something that Bhante said in his paper in May 2009, in that interview, where he said that, that there needs to be some liaison between, he mentioned all these overlapping responsibilities of public, private preceptors, chairman and chairwomen, presidents, order conveners, mitra conveners, chapter conveners. And we definitely need such a structure if we are to be effective. So we're pursuing this over the next 6-9 months. And Dharmareti in particular, he's discussed it in the Public Preceptors College, and we feel this is very important. He's going to be discussing it with the various groupings of chairs, European, American, Indian, Australasian. And what about the order? Well, my thought is, well, it's up to us as order members whether we want to participate. I can see that it's going to require an interest. One was going to need to see the point, and it's going to require some commitment, because probably the order is the least organised almost by definition. And in a way, that's a great thing. So say, in a way, it's great that the order is disorganised. Wouldn't want it in any other way. But in a certain way, if there is a value, and I suspect there is, in that input from another strand, okay, we're all order members, but that strand would be order members there simply from the point of view of order convening and chapter convening, engaging in creative dialogue and discussion. As I say, it might be a decision. The name change is an interesting one, because the name change actually affected both the order and the movement. And that is why one of the reasons why one can say we didn't have the structure in place to really effectively discuss that, because we didn't really have a way to overlap the order and the movement. It's not simply a question of what do we all think individually as order members, because there's also we need the perspective of those who run the centres and the councils. So I think that connects up the earlier part, what I said about chapter conveners and order conveners, and they're looking two ways, as it were. They're looking to the health and vitality of chapters, so that a chapter is a kind of a vajrakula, a place where it can be the spiritual high point of our week, the most challenging and the most spiritually efficacious. At the same time, the chapters and order conveners are looking outwards. They're willing to give that time also and that focus for the order, because they see that they can contribute to the vitality, the cohesion and the harmony of the order as a whole. So I did talk a bit longer than I said I would. I thought I might. But maybe there is 10 minutes left. Yeah, so 10 minutes or so, and I will be happy to take any questions.
Could you expand a little bit, Namati, on the difference between the order and the movement? I wasn't quite clear what exactly you meant by movement.
Right, yeah. Well, I think that's a good point. Somebody did tell me the other day that by movement, Bante sometimes includes the order, which is obviously not, doesn't really help very much. But maybe I didn't use the term in a very helpful way. Maybe it'd be better to say the order and the Tri Ratna Buddhist community activities. So like you've got these specifically order activities, which should be things like meeting in chapters, order weekends, order conventions. But of course, many other things that happen more chaotically, and just how we relate as order members, plus our specifically altruistic activities, our common projects. Everything clear? Everything very convincing?
Where do the lunch conveners fit into this? Do they fit into this?
Oh, well, as regards this, like, college order and movement. Yeah, that is true. I mean, that language was used, the movement. Like, this was a few years ago when around about, I think it was about 2004, 2005, and Subhuti gave some talks, and when he spoke about not maintaining that nomenclature of the headship of the order, spoke about the movement. So the Mitcha conveners, well, that's a bit unclear actually, because in the past it was pretty clear that the Mitcha, I remember the Mitcha's conveners were chosen by the order chapters. And now sometimes they are, or they're quite often chosen by the councils. And sometimes that may be because they're actually financially supported by the councils. So I'm not a Mitcha convener, I can't sort that out. But that's an observation.
Could you say something about the headship of the order? If we do evolve this structure, how Bante fits in with that for the time that he remains with us. Because I know that was, you know, in the recent example of the name change, some people at least seemed a bit confused about Bante's responsibility, as it were.
Yeah.
So is that going to be opened up in that
kind
of
explorations? Yeah. Well, maybe I could just say that the way that Bante introduced the new name, I don't see that as, and I don't think he sees that as meaning that always, next time we change our name, that is how we will do it, as it were. We're not going to change our name next time, but I mean, next time, if there was such a decision, I don't think Bante was saying this is how we do it, because some people have thought, even being quite genuinely upset, that consensus in the order is out of the window, and I don't see it like that at all. I'm going to come to your question about the headship, but I think it's relevant because, and I'm glad you sort of connected the two, because I think that has been quite a big issue for not a few order members, that they have understood how Bounty instituted the change of the name as indicating how the how decisions will be made. So I don't think consensus is out of the window at all. So for example, in councils of centres, one definitely aims for consensus. And in terms of ordinations, the college is definitely looking for consensus and will continue to look for consensus. But in the end, somebody has to make a decision. And this will come back to the headship business, I suppose. So in terms of ordinations, one's definitely looking for consensus. But ordinations, as we know, doesn't depend on consensus. It's possible for some order members to be against an ordination and still to go ahead. Clearly, one would think extremely carefully, and one would be very, very sensitive to whether actually... One would hope that doesn't happen, and it hardly ever does. Usually, at the worst, some people say they're not quite sure, but they will support. In fact, I would say that happens. Once that doesn't happen, one's got a problem. But that's my point, that you're looking for consensus, but we wouldn't say the principle is entirely democratic. And I would say the same with the running of centres and councils. You look for consensus. But in the end, if the chips were down, a council could make a decision on a majority decision if something was sufficiently important. Presumably their constitutions would allow them to do it. Now, in terms of a headship, my understanding is there is no need for an authority over and above the college, the order, and that's what's called that strand of the movement. Because they make decisions in the area where they are competent to make them. So, for example, an order could appoint an international order convener. That's up to the order. That's not up to anybody else. But we're all order members, including the people in the college, and including the people in the running centres, etc. So my understanding about this structure, first of all, Bounty is very keen on it, and as Damaretti wrote in, April Shabder, he just mentioned at the end, just two, three words, he was hoping to develop this structure and to have it in place by early next year with Bante's blessing. And that's very important. We would really like Bante's blessing. Well, not we really like, we need it. Certainly as far as Damaretti is concerned, it has to have Bante's blessing. So the Bante's blessing, hopefully all our blessing, it implies, according to the principles underlying our order, and that takes into account, for example, that we are a community of disciples. At the same time, it takes into account that we use the language of a free association of individuals. So there needs to be a horizontal, so-called horizontal element, and a so-called vertical element. And it also needs to be a kind of the element of autonomy, and also the element of coordination and cooperation. And they need balancing. So, if there is some kind of international council, which there might be, if that's what seems best, and if there is even some kind of ongoing executive body, which there might be, they would be kind of drawing things together. And if they carry some weight, that would be because they carry some weight. That would be because people give them that weight. And I don't think that whether the language of headship is going to come back, I can't say. I don't know of any plan to use that language of headship, because you never know what will happen. But I know there are some rumours, for example, that Subuti is about to be made head of the order. That is not the case as far as I know, and as far as he knows. So I think it's more a question of coordinating our different aspects according to horizontal, vertical, autonomy and cooperation at local, national and ultimately international level. And recognising that some people have felt a lack of a lead, so they would like more leadership, and that's valid. And some people also have felt a lack of an opportunity to kind of contribute or feel that their views have not been heard, and that's also valid. So one needs to take into account both those sort of legitimate requests. Does that help? Or is there any further subsidiary question?
Not for the moment.
Okay. Is there any, just one or two other questions?